Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane. Got a lot of events coming up at Covenant Church Spokane. I'm going to touch on them here in just a couple minutes. Get a piece of paper out. Write it down if you can. In the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news. Behind the news, not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. About our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. And it's about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. A lot of things happening in the world today, we need to be acting. And it's not about right or left. Like I said before, it's about right and wrong. The Gospel of the Kingdom, Isaiah 61:1 through 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland. And that's actually the better translation. In a modern English mind, would be a victor's crown instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. We have a special guest coming on here today, Joel Skousen. So if you don't know Joel Skousen, you're in for a real treat. Make sure that you share right now. Joel's coming on Patriot Radio. If you're listening right now, and you have the opportunity to post that on Gab, MeWe, WeSpeak, and if you absolutely have to, on Facebook. But we would prefer that it not be Facebook. Super excited about a couple things right now. So we're going to jump right into your daily intelligence briefing. The first, and I just got kind of a, you know how sometimes you get news, but then you get kind of the deeper meaning behind it? Well, I had mentioned it on Tuesday, and I'm going to bring this up again, this daring Judean desert expedition that uncovered new scroll fragments that are 2,000 years old plus. Okay, and here is the, this is super interesting. All right, this was called the Cave of Horrors because it had, apparently they had found 40-something skeletons in there previously, and that's on a sheer cliff face. You have to rappel down to get to this cave. And we know that they found two specific scrolls in that, as part of these fragments they found in the cave. Now, they found the skeleton of a 6 to 12-year-old girl in there as well. And then they also found a woven basket. Now, this is so fascinating to me because this brings forward something that many of you may have missed in the scroll of Zechariah, which is one of the scroll fragments that they've actually found there at this cave, the Cave of Horrors in the Judean desert. Okay, so let's get into this real quick. All right, first of all, something interesting is happening in Israel with Saudi Arabia in regards to the building of the third temple. So I want to make sure that we talk about that too. But I want to set the stage because in 2 Maccabees chapter 2, not canonical but historical, it talks about how Jeremiah, 7 years before the first temple was destroyed, was led by the Lord to take the altar of incense, the table of showbread, the menorah, and the Ark of the Covenant, and the tabernacle, by the way, and hide them in the desert, okay? And it says at the end of this little passage that the location of these things would not be known until the last days when the Jews were gathered back together in the land. It's fascinating. And it talks about how people during that day will shine forth like the light of heaven. Now, we know that as Holy Spirit. And it's happening. We are in that day that is being spoken about. So now we have an increase of knowledge happening at the same time with these new finds. And I want to keep this kind of, I'm going to bring it all together for you, but I want to keep it a little bit vague for right now. So the first is that it's a cave where these things are found, the Cave of Hor. There is a basket there, a woven basket. Zechariah is allegedly one of the writers of the copper scroll. Now, we've had Jim Barfield on the show before. And then also, there was a child's body there. Okay, now, could this be a cleansing, an exposing right now, prior to the third temple being built? Because if you actually read this about this find, there are two scrolls that were discovered. Now, I want to paint a picture for you. This cave is flanked by gorges. It's 80 meters below a sheer cliff top. And this is in what we would consider the wilderness. There, again, they found a woven basket and a mummified skeleton of a 6-year-old child there. Okay. But books of Zechariah and Nahum were found there. And these were Greek translations of these books. But God, the name, was written in Hebrew. Now, it gets even more interesting with what has already been deciphered out of these scrolls. Because these are passages about truth and justice in the land, and then also about God's wrath to come. Okay, so let's draw this together. First of all, Zechariah's prophecy was judgment upon those who stole and those who took an oath falsely. In that prophecy, there is also a woven basket, and the basket is called a woman called wickedness. So the basket is, that's the basket, a woman called wickedness. So, and there's a basket in this cave. Wickedness in the ancient world is best described by the Hebrew word topheth, which is talking about the Valley of Hinnom, just south, I think it's southwest of Jerusalem. But anyway, it's south of Jerusalem. The fact of the matter is that in that valley is where they conducted child sacrifice. In fact, that word topheth is a word that describes like the utmost wickedness. And here in this cave is a child's body. That is fascinating. What is also fascinating is that the scroll of Zechariah was in the air, and the cave where the scroll was found was elevated far above the ground. Now, these are just some observations, and we're going to get Jim Barfield on one of these future episodes to talk a little bit more about this, because I'm really excited. But this is like a fulfilled prophecy and a warning to all of us. And typically when judgment would come from the Lord, it wasn't just judgment and wrath. It was that his people were also supernaturally provided for. And so I want to leave you with that word of wisdom and comfort and encouragement that even though that there's this warning and they find this scroll matching some of the things that are actually in Zechariah, who is listed as one of the writers of the copper scroll. And the scroll is elevated way above the ground in a cave that nobody can get to. There's a child's body there. And this basket, which seeming, I mean, it's just interesting. Is that coincidence? A basket that symbolized a woman called wickedness. So if you haven't read Zechariah, go back and read Zechariah. It's actually really important for last time's study. The two witnesses are mentioned in Old Testament books, and you get a much better feel for Revelation when you read Zechariah, when you read Daniel, when you read Zephaniah, when you read Malachi. So make sure you read these things just on your own time. But how interesting is that it was found right during this time? And oh, by the way, just this last week was Nisan 1. Okay, so this is actually the Jewish New Year. There's actually technically over four New Years, but different New Years, but two main ones, one in the spring, one in the fall. Nisan 1 is one in the spring, and it was on the beginning of the week, and it was also the beginning of the year. So just a lot of things happening. I'm not trying to tie too much together and shoehorn too much, but what I want to do is just raise your awareness that things are beginning to happen. And that brings us to the next thing on the national front, and this is that the Saudis, and this is coming to us from Israel 365 News, and that last article you can read at Debka File. I think they also had it on WorldNet Daily. Okay, Saudis refute claim that Temple Mount holy to Islam. Is it a prophecy from Zohar? Well, this is fascinating. In the days to come, the mount of Hashem's house shall stand firm above the mountains and tower above the hills, and all the nations shall gaze on it with joy. Isaiah 2:2. I am very interested when the Saudis do this because they claim to be the head of Sunni Islam. A new Saudi Arabian social media initiative is working to refute the Palestinian claim to the Temple Mount. Wow. And where does this come from? Well, you need to understand that on the top of the Temple Mount is the Dome of the Rock, and there's blasphemies against Jesus Christ written all the way around that, on the outside. And so now the Saudis, so this has been disputed for a long time, the Saudis are coming against the Palestinians. The Palestinians are beginning to side with the Turks, so just you know the geopolitical thing there. And according to the Saudis, the campaign is in response to the Palestinians who insult and humiliate the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for its cooperation with Israel, both online and in many demonstrations on the Temple Mount on Fridays, end quote. This is very interesting that this is shifting right now, but it's shifting over the Temple Mount. So Zohar is essentially an eschatological battle or an end times battle described in the Zohar. Then with I want to talk about this a little bit so we get some context here. So you have Jews and Saudis coming to the same conclusion. It's incredible. Same conclusion about this. Okay, Zohar. Sons of Ishmael will bow down before God at the Holy Mountain. The Palestinian imperative to lay claim to the site of the Jewish temples may have more to do with an end days prophecy described in the Zohar than with Muslim theology. A surprisingly detailed description of the messianic process is given in the Zohar Hadash, a collection of previously unpublished manuscripts pertaining to the Zohar printed in the late 16th century. In one section, the Zohar Hadash describes a process that will begin in the 274th year of the 6th millennium. So this works out to be the year 5774 in the Hebrew calendar, which began September 2013. This same prophecy is repeated in other sources, adding that the sons of Ishmael, or Arabs, will make war against Messiah and will come and bow down before God at the Holy Mountain in Jerusalem. Wow. That is heavy stuff. So, go check this out for yourselves, but absolutely fascinating that this is happening in our time. Further, this coming to us from the New American on the national front. Biden came out and he threatened Vladimir Putin, saying that Putin will pay a price for election meddling. Biden let the Russian leader know that the interference would not go unanswered. Biden will pay a price, quote unquote. And then says this, quote, a key element of Moscow's strategy this election cycle was use of its proxies linked to Russian intelligence to push influence narratives, including misleading or unsubstantiated allegations against President Biden. So now the primary source documents that came out, including video and pictures of Hunter Biden. So that, now we're going to blame that on the Russians too. Okay, and then it says this, including misleading or unsubstantiated allegations against President Biden to U.S. media organizations, U.S. officials, and prominent U.S. individuals, including some close to President Trump and his administration, because Russia is still colluding with President Trump in this fantasy land. Look, there's team reality right now today, and there's team fantasy, okay, as Dr. Simone Gold said. I love that. We're gonna use that a lot. We're on team reality, okay? Team reality is that the United States has been meddling in elections around the world for years. Team reality also says that the Russians have tried to do that. That's not a news flash. But what is the news flash is they keep covering up the corruption and the links to communists in the Biden administration. That's team reality. And this guy, the pretender, also, because, of course, the issue really isn't the issue, he gagged the Border Patrol, also according to the New American, blocked media access, and there's no coverage of the minors in the detention facilities. You remember that when they were blaming Trump for that? And now it's way worse. I agree with the statement. President Biden doesn't want anyone to know about the crisis he deliberately created at the U.S. border, and so he's gagged U.S. officials of the Customs and Border Protection. Unreal. Quote, border officials can't permit reporters to ride with agents, and all media requests are denied, the network reported. And this is coming to us from NBC, but they're quoting this in this New American article. In addition to that, multiple news organizations, including NBC News, have requested access to photos from inside overcrowded border processing facilities holding unaccompanied migrant children, and they have been denied. At the height of this issue back in 2018, Trump did actually allow media to tour the facilities. a double standard much? All right. Also on the national front, coming to us from InfoWars, doctors and medical experts warn the COVID shot is a dangerous, untested gene therapy treatment. Fantastic. They finally are coming out. Finally coming out. All right. Also want to talk about how right now there has been this huge media disinformation campaign about Officer Brian Sicknick's death in the Capitol on January 6th. First, it was said by the media, particularly the New York Times, and it's coming to us from WorldNet Daily, that the officer had been hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. That was a lie, the Times has now admitted. The only violent death we know of that day was of 35-year-old Ashley Babbitt, who was shot and killed by an unidentified police officer. And it's interesting that the more that is coming out against this, and the more facts that are put forward, the narrative about the Capitol on January 6th is coming unraveled, the mainstream media communist narrative. And here is the other quote in here. His brother, Ken Sicknick, so this is the officer's brother, said, quote, he texted me last night and said, I got pepper sprayed twice and he was in good shape. End quote. The pepper spraying incident took place at 2:30 p.m. That night, he was in good spirits. Okay, these are facts now that are being put out. So clearly not what the media has been claiming all along. Also want to talk quickly, and I love, I'm going to back up here. So on the, back on the international front, so Putin, oh, I love this. So Vladimir Putin basically says that he calls Biden's challenges a bluff and challenges him to a televised live debate. Yeah, this is what world leaders are going to do with the pretender. He's not even coherent. And so Vladimir Putin says, yeah, it's a bluff. I'll challenge him to a live television debate. Let's see if Biden, the pretender, takes him up on that. All right. Coming to us from Technocracy News, there are a couple of things that I want to talk about. But the big issue is what we talked about last Tuesday about the Equality Act and how it literally is turning Christianity itself into an illegal act. And Bob Marshall laid that out really well. But I want to go to this cyber panic that's going to happen. Technocracy News has got a bunch of different articles, but one of them that's really good is about the social credit scores that the Chinese want to do. We've been talking about this for 2 years now. But this cyber pandemic, quote, a pandemic of black hat cyber attacks against critical infrastructure would necessitate mandated and authenticated digital IDs for every person on Earth prior to being allowed internet privileges. Secondly, emergency shutdowns would cause economic chaos, end quote. If you don't read any other article, please read this. I've posted it up on all the different social media sites that I have. And it's called Forget COVID, Global Oligarchs Are Now Rehearsing for a Cyber Pandemic. This was talked about by Jack Decker. This has been predicted by several other people that this is where they're going to try to go next. Gin up a crisis in the Middle East, then turn around and while that's happening, allow something to happen here in the United States. And within 72 hours of the pretender being installed, you saw that he removed protections from our power grid. Incredible. All right. Let's move next and last to what's coming up here in Spokane. So at Covenant Church here on April 8th, we're going to have the Iron Sharpens Iron Conference with Bevelin Beatty, Pastor Kent Peters, myself, and many others. We are going to be destroying the communist narrative that has been in the fake news for over a year. And so please join us for that again. It's going to be 6:30, Covenant Church, Spokane, April 8th. April 16th and 17th, we have our Young Adults Leadership Conference, also at Covenant Church. You can find information about that on the website, also on the social media sites. I posted it up there. Make sure to register at the link. It's fascinating, too, that so many young people are getting involved. Next week at Covenant Church, 6:30, March 24th, we are going to be doing a youth rally at the church. And so this is all our young people. This is our teenagers. They're going to be there. And many churches are coming alongside us for this. So please, if you've got young folks that want to get involved, please bring them. Make sure that they understand that they can make a difference as well. And just get them involved. Lastly, I want to end back on the international front. Coming to us from Debka File, Russia has recalled its ambassador from Washington. Ambassador Anatoly Antonov was recalled on Wednesday from Washington to Moscow for consultations after President Biden called President Putin a killer in a national television interview. Now, and this is also the same interview where he said he's paying a price, but I just want to say something. They are escalating right now in places of the world that don't make any sense unless you understand the global conspiracy and what is going on right now and how they want to implement control mechanisms using these crises. It's critical to understand. And go check that article out for yourselves, and also the article, really love that article about that find in the Judean desert. That's just fascinating to me. All right. That is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you missed the show, you can always go to iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon, and it's replayed across the entire ACN network at 9 o'clock at night. So that covers all of Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Northeast Oregon, and beyond. All right, it's my great honor to introduce today Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, also author of Strategic Relocations. Joel, it's always great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, Matt. As good as you can be with the deteriorating situation in our world, in our country.
I know. It seems like they're running to the finish line right now, or trying to anyway. So if you could, I'm just going to ask a really open-ended question for the listeners. Where do you think we are at? Can you give us an overview of where you think the country is at and where we're headed over the next 4 months?
Well, I think, frankly, that because Trump was unable to get the election fraud certified to courts, evaded the subject, called it moot. I outlined in my World Affairs Brief all the series of legal maneuvers they went through to get this ruled moot. But I just don't think, frankly, that we can win another election with this election fraud institutionalized. And H.R. 1 before the Congress right now will institutionalize that by prohibiting states, the red states that there are, and there's about 43 states that have bills before their legislature right now to restrict the kind of fraud that wouldn't stop computer fraud, but at least to restrict the voting registration and the mail-in fraud that was so endemic there in our election. So, frankly, we're just starting to see the onslaught in terms of gun control starting. As I say, the election fraud being institutionalized, the military being pushed into institutionalizing gays and transgenders into the military, which will push out good people. We're starting to see the neocons take back over in terms of pushing new troops and convoys of oil-stealing tankers into Syria. They're going after Iran. It's just beginning. It's going to be bad.
So I think we've seen, you know, within 72 hours of the pretender being installed in the White House, we saw him immediately get troops into Syria. We saw him take away protections for a power grid. It seems like there's going to be some sort of a crisis fomented in the Middle East. If you could paint the picture here of what we're entering into as we go into spring and summer right now.
Well, even Donald Trump got snookered many times by false intelligence about Syria. He bombed Syria three times with the false claim that they had used chemical weapons on their own people, which they did not. It was the U.S.-backed rebels that did it and blamed it on Syria. And they, you know, Israel and the U.S. have been trying to provoke Iran into attacking Israel for, you know, over 2 years now, and Iran continues to not take the bait. But that's the major target in the Middle East, and it doesn't make much news right now, but Israel continues to use American aircraft and weapons to target Iranian-backed militia within Syria, who, by the way, are the only ones fighting U.S.-backed terror. You know, Trump made the mistake of calling General Soleimani the biggest backer of terrorism in the world, but in fact, he was the one that was funding and training and getting the Iraqi militia to go after ISIS, and Soleimani defeated ISIS. The U.S. tried to protect them and defend them and save their leaders, as they did at the end battle in Raqqa. But, you know, Iran is not our friend. It's a militant Islamic state, but it clearly is in the crosshairs of the globalists, and they want it out of the way because it's the only Muslim country that is pretty close to being totally self-sufficient in their own weapons production. And all the other Muslim countries are puppets either to the Eastern Bloc or the U.S. deep state.
So if we see a crisis ginned up in the Middle East against Iran, do we see back home any sort of a cyber attack? I mean, what are you hearing? What do you think is the likely scenario with our economy particularly, and also with this increase of control mechanisms, both economically and just in our personal liberties?
Well, I don't see a cyber attack from Iran against the United States succeeding. They don't have the kind of capabilities that Russia and China have in that regard. I think the takedown of the grid will be postponed until just before World War III. It's Russian and military and Chinese military doctrine to throw an EMP strike at the U.S. just prior, 15, 20 minutes prior to a military strike on U.S. military targets. And perhaps that's the only silver lining in Biden's pushing all of this gay, lesbian, queer agenda on the military. It's going to drive a lot of the good military people out because, frankly, when that first strike comes, which will be aimed only at military targets, not cities per se, I mean, Seattle's toast because there's so many military targets there and other cities as well. But nevertheless, our military will not be protected. They're going to absorb a nuclear first strike, and I think we're going to lose most of our military in that first strike. And so that's the big threat that I see that nobody's talking about, even as China's raising its ugly head, getting very, very aggressive. It may well take back Hong Kong and Taiwan before World War III. But I don't think the Middle East war and the war with Iran will provoke World War III because Russia and China aren't quite ready yet.
How do you see this, you know, coming down as far as especially our economy is concerned here over the summer? It seems like there really is a push to collapse the economy or at least degrade the economy significantly within about the next year so that they can blame it on President Trump, similar to the kind of Hoover-Roosevelt scenario. How do you see this coming down? And do you think China will just continue to through proxies, throw cyber attacks wherever they can against the U.S. infrastructure that we have?
No, I don't see China doing anything directly attacking the United States until this war. They don't want to get the U.S. alerted. Remember, I've said in the World Affairs Brief for decades now, the globalists have been trying to arm Russia and China or military transfers to them to build these enemies. They want this war because by allowing our military to be decapitated in the first strike, they can push Americans finally, and that's their long-term goal as globalists, to push Americans into joining a militarized, taxing, all-controlling world government. And you won't get Americans into that world government without an attack on the U.S. military, where our leaders can come out and say, we can't defend ourselves now unless we join a militarized global government. It's the perfect ruse. So China is not going to provoke that before it's time. They don't want Americans alerted to the fact. They know that our own leaders aren't going to alert us until it becomes so imminent that there's no way to stop it. And we're having a few military, like Admiral Davidson, warning that China's getting very aggressive in the east, and we may not be able to contain China. But they're still not saying that it's a real risk. Even General Flynn said, we've been briefed by the military that China and Russia will not go to the brink of nuclear war. They will just not go there because of mutually assured destruction. But they don't understand. Even General Flynn doesn't know about PDD-60. 1997, instructing our missile forces to absorb a nuclear first strike and retaliate afterwards. That's a recipe for suicide. For absorbing a nuclear first strike, it means that you won't be able to retaliate, that MAD doesn't exist. And our own military is being propagandized so they don't understand that there's an executive order out there that actually controls what will happen when China does strike.
So let's talk a little bit, too, about the cyber situation that we're facing right now. There's very clearly an attempt to centralize control, especially the flow of money. Do you foresee that continuing? And then I'm going to get into what we can all do about that. But do you see that continuing? And how are they going to continue to use the COVID fake crisis to implement those control mechanisms?
But I didn't answer your economic question. Let me answer that before I get to the COVID crisis, because it dovetails to it. There have been a lot of people since 2010, predicting economic collapse, and it's never happened. And even though we've had profligate spending and, increasing deficits up to $60 trillion now in real money, the reason is because the pool of federal dollars has been spread out so far internationally. It's much, much bigger than what the Fed claims in M3 and M4 monetary figures. Much, much bigger. There's been secret money being created not only to bail out the big banks since October 2019, but they've been shoveling money out the door to bail out the European banks for the last decade. They've been sending palletfuls of physical $100 bills to Iraq to buy out the opposition there to win the war. None of that goes on the records. And that's why only the U.S. has the ability to inflate the way that they do and not have it show up as high inflation. Now, we're having a lot of inflation right now about the building materials. Wood prices have about doubled in the past 6 months in the United States, and building prices are going up. But other sectors of the economy have been hurt by this COVID shutdown. So I'm not believing there's going to be an economic collapse, but they do want the economy hurt sufficiently to get people used to being totally on the government dole, one bailout after another. And with these bailout bills, as we just saw, the $1.9 trillion, you have all of these special provisions in there and globalist agenda. And we'll get more of those. That's what the global reset is all about, is getting us into national socialism through bailouts and through accepting things that we would normally never accept under non-crisis conditions. I mean, can you imagine how many millions of Americans who are against federal bailouts, they're all taking the checks now because, as far as they're concerned, and it's true, the government did it to us. There's no excuse in this COVID to be shutting down businesses or social distancing or masks. All of this stuff is worthless. And the fake Dr. Fauci and all those people know that. They're part of a conspiracy to take down liberty. And they've taken advantage of Americans' improper trust of the medical establishment. I am just shocked, Matt, at how 80% of Americans have bought into this COVID idiocy, calling it science, and it's not science at all, denying the evidence, et cetera. And it shows that the vast majority of Americans are still listening to the mainstream media. And we have the ear, of course, of good conservatives who understand what's going on, but I'm afraid we're not in a big enough position, especially with election fraud looming overhead, to ever make a a big difference other than to prepare for what's coming, and we can prepare. There's going to be war coming. There's going to be, I don't think we're ever going to get free from these pandemic lockdowns. The vaccines aren't going to work. The vaccines are going to cause more problems, but they do reduce. In fact, they had to use the reduction in the amplification of the PCR test in order to get the numbers to come down enough to be able to say the vaccines are working. Yeah, although it isn't because of the vaccines, the virus was never a deadly threat to normal people. In fact, that your chances of dying from COVID are vastly smaller than dying from a vaccine reaction, from this dangerous vaccine.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, because it seems like we don't have a lot of fighters at the national level right now. And I'm particularly going to come after the Republicans on this one. You know, 20 Republicans confirmed Merrick Garland, for goodness sakes, an admitted radical Marxist. You just don't, I mean, what do we expect them to really do to stop this thing? And so do you expect there really to be any change in regards to COVID policy, or do you think it's going to be this bouncing back and forth between phases as we go along and permanency of masks and some of these other control mechanisms?
I fear the worst in this regard. I don't see them ever letting us through from this off and on, turn it off and on, the restrictions. I mean, they can boost it just by the way they manipulate that test. They can boost the infection rate falsely and claim that, wow, I mean, it never was there. 90% plus of all the COVID positive tests were false. They might all be false for all we know, because, you see, as Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, it should never have been used to diagnose, because it amplifies even dead or deactivated virus. But you could get a common cold and still show up positive on the PCR test. So this can be manipulated ad infinitum. Now, the powers that be understand that the people are getting fed up with these restrictions. They're getting very, very irritated. Look at all the people that want to go to spring break in Florida. They're going one way or the other. And so they're depending on the big corporations to lock down this nation, even as the mask mandates are being reduced because politicians fear the backlash from voters. They're saying, but companies are free to keep putting these masks on, and they do. And so you have your Delta Airlines and the United Airlines and American Airlines calling for a vaccine passport, and not domestically yet, as the American Airlines head told the Economic Forum in Chicago. He said, we need you other big corporations to start this first, requiring your employees to have vaccines so that we won't be the bad guys when we require this vaccine, you know, of our flying passengers. These people are utterly without principle, Matt, and I think they're going to continue to use. And remember, too, Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates are talking about a second pandemic, even worse. They've got other bioweapons in the pipeline, and this is just a primer on this to get people compliant. And unfortunately, at least half of Americans aren't going to take this vaccine.
And it's good to see that, actually, that people are standing up and saying no. And so that brings us to where I want to spend a lot of time, and that is, what can we do right now to prepare for what is coming? You have been talking about this as long, I think, as I have been alive, and I really want to get folks solutions. Even if they can't move, they live in a suburb right now, they can't move, what can they do? How can we prepare for what is coming, especially if our travel is going to be restricted, if where we buy and sell is going to be restricted by some of these things that they're already beginning to push forward, like a international identification card?
Well, in the first place, they're going to start to squeeze people out of establishment rights and benefits through this COVID excuse. And so I've been telling people who listen or read my World Affairs brief that you've got to be prepared, one, to get out of public schools. Public schools are where your children are propagandized. They're going to require that vaccine sooner or later. You know, they're a little bit reluctant to require it now. They're going to use pressure, but eventually it's coming. And so don't play the game of, you know, there are schools and we can improve them. Don't improve. They're government schools. We cannot control them. They'll always be used against our children. The second thing is to get out of the medical establishment. I mean, I know that's tough because people who are on insurance, you know, it only pays for treatment within the medical establishment. And that's going to require the COVID test. That's going to require a mask. That's going to require the vaccines. You know, so you need to get used to that. And part of that is get out of the habit of having babies in the hospital. If you're a childbearing age, learn that in every state of the union, there are certified, not nurse midwives who are run by medical protocols, but real certified lay midwives, which will not require those things and which will have a safe birth within the comfort and safety and of your own home. You're going to have to be willing to get out of big corporate jobs if they start requiring the vaccine or a vaccine passport. You just don't want to be coerced into taking this. Now, in terms of a preparation for the long haul, the first thing that people have to realize is you've really got to get healthy, because that's your only real defense. Vaccines don't help. Vaccines cause more, as you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, there's no way to mass produce a safe vaccine. And he's right. It's all filled with all kinds of damaging things. So your best defense is to really get healthy. That means lose weight, really start to exercise, get on a natural diet, and stay on there. Stop the junk food. You know, get active. It's amazing what real cardiovascular exercise each week does for you in building up, and then tells you if you're really healthy or not. You may think you're healthy. You go out and run a mile, and it'll tell you whether or not you're healthy or not. People need to learn to get more self-sufficient. You know, if there's going to be an EMP strike, everybody's got to have alternative electric power. Got to have a generator. They're cheap right now. But like everything, when all of a sudden there's a run at Home Depot or Lowe's for generators, you can't get one for love nor money. So get them now while they're cheap. And, of course, there's solar. There's the Titan solar inverter, which is a wonderful backup system that you can keep portable in your house, whether or not you have... You can keep it plugged in and with its battery power for backup, or you can have solar panels to improve it. But ultimately, you have to realize that when this EMP strike comes preceding World War III, which I predict generally around somewhere in the latter half of this decade, so we don't have a lot more time to prepare, but we do have time, there's going to be an EMP strike, and this grid is going to be down for over a year. And the reason I say that, I used to think, you know, 4 to 6 months, and then a guy at a power company said, you know, Joel, you don't understand. We don't stockpile any of the big transformers in the United States that transform the thousands of volts transmission lines down to usable electricity. They're all made in China. And we may have two or three truck-sized transformers here in the United States, but that's it. And there are thousands of them that need to be replaced. So, you see, with no electricity for over a year, you know, there's going to be starvation. So people really need to think about, even if you can't relocate now, at least you need to prepare to grow a garden. You need to know how to do that. You need to practice it every year, because I'll tell you, it takes 2 or 3 years' experience to really grow something. You need to stockpile seeds. And ultimately, I'm encouraging people that to think about having a fallout shelter or something, especially if you're in Washington, you know, and the wind's blowing from the west, even though you're in maybe in eastern Washington, which is not the same as the Seattle in terms of Democratic control. You're under state control, and it's going to be a major nuclear weapons explosions, multiple, probably at least 30 in the Seattle Sound area, and that fallout's drifting west if the winds, prevailing winds, are normal. Now, I realize that takes some time and preparation, and on my website, joelskousen.com, I do have some books, do-it-yourself books, where you can do those things less expensively, you know, if you learn to do it yourself and how to prepare.
So let's talk about that a little bit more in detail. I've always advocated that people should have at least 2 growing seasons or 2 years worth of food, not just 1 year or 3 months or something like that. But a lot of people, you know, they say that's just too daunting. I can't do all of that at once. And everybody wants to do it all of a sudden. But you really have laid out over the years a methodical, incremental way of doing this. If you could talk about that a little bit.
Yes, you really do. You know, we put out a little booklet called 10 Packs for Survival, and it has 10 areas of storage. And, you know, people need to just do it a little bit at a time. You know, people, it looks so daunting if you look, and it is daunting. I mean, I made a major move 3 or 4 years ago to get out of a major city in Utah and get to a rural area, an hour's drive away from metro area, to avoid the refugee flows that would come from an EMP strike. And, you know, it's taken me 3 years to really get everything going. We get a farm situation rather than just a retreat, and now we've got animals and other things. It takes time to do that. But even if you're just stockpiling within a home, first of all, if you can't move out of the city, you at least need to get to the periphery of the city, where if you have to leave someday, you're not having to wend through the traffic of a major metro area. You need to get a home that's got a basement in it, because in a basement, you can store food securely. You can conceal it in a basement better than you can above ground, and it stays at a uniform temperature. And just keep adding to your stockpile every month. Buy a little extra food when you go there, and you'd be surprised how it builds up. And you have to sacrifice, you know, don't go out to eat anymore. You know, save that money and put it into food storage. You need water storage as well and other things. The point is, a little bit of time goes a long way. You know, the Lord understands that we can't always do everything. No matter how much money he has, can't do everything. You can't prepare for everything. But I think there are certain blessings for people who do the very best, listen to the promptings that encourage you to live healthily, save up, and work at what you can. And then you merit the blessings of the Lord, I think, when tough times come.
One of the other things, too, is, you know, a lot of people have everything stored electronically. How can people kind of defend against that and preserve some of their most precious things, like memories, like their pictures and wedding photos, all those kind of things? How can people prepare in that realm as well?
Well, that's one of the reasons for having a safe room. You know, there will be gun confiscation someday. I don't think it'll actually rise. It'll be slowly incremental with the Democrats. But I don't think the confiscation will actually arrive until the war comes, when you get real martial law. So it's important to have a safe room to stockpile, because the safe rooms that we design in the book, The High Security Shelter, that I wrote, it's actually fireproof, too. The house can burn down around you, and that safe room isn't going to burn, and it's going to, you know, safeguard your stuff. Short of that, there are minor fireproof safes, you know, that you can buy and keep things. They won't last more than, you know, an hour probably under fire conditions, but at least it's better. It gives you time to grab and go if you have to leave a house and take your valuables and important papers. You need to be in one location, one little fireproof safe with a handle on it. They're not metal. They're fireproof plastic and with things inside. You can get them. There's Sentry is one brand. You can get them at Lowe's or Home Depot. But it's important to have a grab-and-go bag, not only of your survival materials, but also your important papers. But ultimately, you know, I think, Matt, and you know this as well as I do, that we conservatives who understand conspiracy, and when they're coming against us someday, and it's going to be important to have safe places to hide people. You know, if you read Corey Ten Boom's book about hiding Jews in World War II and Belgium and things, you understand it's very tough to hide people if you're having to build those secret places under emergency conditions. So the nice thing about having a concealed safe room is you have places to hide people, because we'll be the Jews of World War III, Matt.
I agree with you. I think that's where exactly this is headed. In the last couple minutes that we have left, Joel, if you could, give us your parting thoughts, and also where can people go to get more information about the things you're talking about and about World Affairs Brief?
Well, the World Affairs Brief is at my site, worldaffairsbrief.com, and there's a little link in red on the left-hand side that says Request a Sample. If you want the current World Affairs Brief, just click on that, Request a Sample, and it will send it to your email. On my other site, joelskousen.com, that's where my books are showcased, the Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. That's in bestseller status now. It's just flying off the shelves as people are bailing out of California and New York due to these COVID restrictions and unfortunately raising up prices in Utah and Idaho, some of the two best states closer to you, you know, for relocation. The other book, The Secure Home, is kind of the Bible of self-sufficiency. It's 700 pages, covers everything from preparedness to high-security construction or remodeling, and a huge appendix with hard-to-find things in it. And the other book is a high-security shelter book, which is the cheapest way people can get a concealed safe room if they have an existing basement. It's how to do a cinder block concrete shelter within a basement. Do-it-yourself style without a contractor, and that's the only way to get something really concealed is to do it yourself. I might also say I've written a special essay, which is I'm giving out free of charge to everyone. If you go to worldaffairsbrief.com, on the right-hand side, you see in red, it says, "The Still Small Voice of Conscience." This, Ron, I think, is the secret to a better life, is tying into that little voice of conscience which warns you of improper things and prompts you to do the things you know you should do, you don't feel like it, and it's a real guide. You know, we're all going to need to get much better at listening to the little promptings of conscience from the Lord if we're going to make it through these tough times. So I recommend that people download that in PDF or read it online. It's free of charge. Enjoy it. It will really help, and especially help children, to listen to conscience early so they become self-directing, so that you don't lose your children to the leftist media and social media.
Joel Skousen, thank you once again. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Keep up the fight, and just appreciate all those things that you've been doing behind the scenes and in public for all the years. You've never received any real credit for it, but thank you. Your predictions have been more accurate than we could possibly have understood, so keep it up.
My pleasure, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, also author of Strategic Relocations, and that Shelter book, too, is another fantastic book. If you want to know how to build that quickly and see some other ideas, too, sometimes it sparks things inside of you. But if you're not prepared and you've been listening to Patriot Radio for 12 years, it's on you now, I guess. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but we've got to take this seriously, the direction that things are headed. The Equality Act clearly is trying to make Christianity an illegal activity, gun controls on the agenda, and then this crisis being ginned up in the Middle East as well. For the sake of your family, get prepared. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.